today is a little bit different than what we've been doing for the past few weeks. And we will not be reading a passage of the Bible today because we'll be introducing our new book. And so it's my conviction, at least right now, in the church's way that we're going to do things, is just start at the beginning of a book. And so this new book that we're doing is the book of Acts. And so we're going to start in Acts chapter 1, verses 1, and we're going to work through all 28 chapters until we're done. So you may ask the question, why do you do that? We do it for a lot of different reasons, but the main reason is we believe that the power of God is found in the Word of God, not only in the Word of God, but we don't think that this is just a book. And so we say, God, if you want to speak to us, let's study the Bible. Unfortunately, what we do sometimes when we go to the Bible is we've got our ideas. And so we say, okay, this is what God is. This is how things work. We've got kind of our box, and we don't allow Scripture to change that box. And so what we do is we cherry pick. We're like, I like this passage. This was a great devotional. I don't like that passage so much, so I'm not going to look at that one. And so what we do, starting at Acts 1, going through the entire book, is to say that we're going to handle every single thing that's in here. We're not going to go around it. We're not going to avoid it. If it's controversial, we're going to talk about it because we believe that the Word of God can change our lives. And so even the smallest little thing that we think is insignificant, like an introduction or a closing, we're going to study that because the God of the universe has ordained that it would be here. So that's my little introduction about the why we're doing what we're doing. If you have more questions on that, I would love to answer that for you. But basically, that's the idea. We believe that God is speaking to us through His Word, and so we're just going to start at the beginning of a book and work through it. And how long is that going to take? It's going to take as long as it's going to take, okay? And so we don't know what that looks like. We'll just let it be what it is. And so let God kind of determine that. So that's the introduction of our book. Before I get into the message, so all we're going to do today is just introduce the book of Acts. So if we're going to be in this book for a few years, we want to have a solid foundation to know actually what it is. And so that's going to be the point today. Before I do that, I want to pray. We're going to go on a journey together. We're all starting a journey together today to study the book of Acts. And so I believe very clearly, not only that Scripture can touch our lives, but this book can touch our lives. It's the start of the church. It's God establishing His church. And so there's a lot for us to be learned over the next few years as we study this book. And so I'm just going to pray for the series in Acts and then also for today. So let's pray. Father, You've given us Your Word, and it's our job to study it. It's not our job to cherry pick what we like and what we don't like and determine the parts that we're going to listen to. It's our job to just say, what is it that You want me to know? Okay, I'll do that. Who are You? Okay, that's who You are? Great, that's who I'll worship. And so, Father, I just I pray that as a church, as we go through this journey of studying the book of Acts, that we don't get bored and we don't get distracted. We don't say, I don't want to do something else. Father, I just pray that we would understand that every single word in Your Bible is important, and that every single verse can change our lives. Every single verse can be a miracle to our souls and a blessing to our souls. And so, Father, as we impart on this journey as a church, I pray that You would bless our church. Teach us practical things. Teach us more about who You are. Teach us what we're supposed to be doing as a church if we're not doing the right things. Teach us what we're supposed to be doing as Christians if we're not doing the right things. Encourage us. Convict us. Do whatever it is that You need to do in our hearts to make us more like You through the study of the book of Acts. And so, Father, I have a task that is before me, and hopefully we have other preachers that come, Lord, but our job as speakers and preachers is to present Your Word. And there's a lot of confusing things. There's a lot of controversial things in the book of Acts. And I pray that whoever is speaking the Word about the book of Acts, that it is truly Your Word and not theirs. It's not mine. My opinion, a person's opinion, does not matter. And so I pray that whoever is communicating the message throughout this study is properly communicating Your Word. And we ask these things in Your name. Amen. All right. So I hope that you guys are excited about the book of Acts. Maybe as I walk through today's message, you'll get a little bit more excited. And if you don't, then I'm just going to pray that you get excited because we're going to be in this for a while. So let me just give you the really, like when you read Google and you just Google, like, what's the point of Acts? I'm going to give you the very basic definition. The book of Acts is a 30-year period of God establishing His church. Basically, it's a history book. Luke writes the book of Luke, and then he just continues into the book of Acts. So this is the second volume of what Luke writes about. Luke writes about Jesus, and then he continues and he writes about the early church, and that's what the book of Acts is. And so in a very basic, general sense, the book of Acts is a history book. It's just telling us about a 30-year period of when God started the church as we know it, the ecclesia as we know it. But, like anything in this world, there's a lot that goes into that. There's a lot of things that go into the book of Acts. And so I'm going to try my best to introduce this in a way that gives it proper, power or whatever, just to give it proper other than just saying it's a history book, right? Because if we come to it, it's like, oh, it's a history book. It's not that exciting. So what I'm going to try to do for the next few moments is explain and kind of dictate why we have the book of Acts and why it is so significant, not only 2,000 years ago, not only to God's plan for all of eternity, but also for us today, okay? And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to start out in the Old Testament. So sometimes people think that the Old Testament is not really worth their time. Okay, I get the point. But the Old Testament is two-thirds of the Bible, and it is important. It is important for laying the foundation for Jesus Christ. And so for the context of today, I'm just going to give us a quick run-by of the Old Testament and how it applies to the book of Acts. So, start off Genesis 1:1. God creates the world, okay? So God is the creator of all things. You and I are here because God created us. We would not be anything. We would not be able to breathe and love people and have life and have anything if God had not spoken it into existence. When God created us, He created us in His image, and part of what we have in our DNA, in our soul, and our spirit is a desire for connections. And so I want to have a connection with people. I want to have a spouse. I want to have friends. And so there's a desire for relationships. In addition to relationships with humans, is a desire to have a relationship with God. So the Creator spoke us into existence and He put into our DNA, I want to be with you. I want to have a relationship with you. And so the God of the universe created us wanting to have a relationship with us. And we internally want to have a relationship with God. But we do not have that relationship that was intended. So God said, I want this to be the relationship. I want it to be good. But it's not what we have as human beings. The question is why? And the answer is us. We are the problem. And so whether it was Adam, whether it was Abraham, whether it was whoever, we sinned, which means that we did what God told us not to do. And so I always say this, my wife is here, and I don't use this example lightly. If I was to do something to offend my wife, then our relationship would be strained, right? And so that, in a very basic sense, is what we have done as humans. We have offended God, and now our relationship is strained. It's jacked up. It's not the way that it's supposed to be. And so for the entire Old Testament, what we see is God demonstrating to us, no matter how hard we try, no matter how many years go by, human beings can't get it right. We keep messing it up on every turn. We know what we're supposed to do. We know the right path that we're supposed to take. We know how we're supposed to get back to be our a good relationship with God, but we constantly fail. The first two people, they had one single rule to follow in terms of what not to do. Don't eat that tree. They messed it up. And then in Noah comes along, and God is so, looks at the world, and He is so saddened by the world because everybody is so bad. When you leave people to their own devices, they get bad, and they get horrible. And so that world in the time of Noah was so bad, God said, I'm done with these people. And other than Noah and his family, He wiped everybody off the entire earth with a flood. He said, people are so horrible. They're killing each other. They're doing terrible things to each other. It's so bad, I'm wiping everybody off the earth. That's a testament to the human spirit, is it not? God said, you are so bad, I'm just going to get rid of all you. And then God raises up Abraham and the nation of Israel. And He has a very simple contract with people through the Mosaic Law. Here's a very simple contract. God says, I want a relationship with you, and here's the deal. I'm going to give you some rules. Just follow those rules, and everything will be fine. Everything will be good. Our relationship will be good. You'll have the land of milk and honey. It'll be great. Everything is good. Just follow these rules. But we couldn't do it. Human beings, on every turn, fail. Don't follow this God. Okay, I'm going to follow this God. Don't do this. I got to do this. Don't do that. And they just kept doing the wrong thing. And so for thousands of years, human beings taught us a very simple lesson. If it's up to us, we will fail. If it's up to us making this world a better place or getting things right or getting the relationship back to God, we will fail. So that's what the Old Testament teaches us. But God loves us, and so He wants to have that relationship with us. And so throughout the Old Testament, there are what we call prophecies. And so basically, throughout the Old Testament, as man keeps failing, God is speaking through his prophets and through different people. And he's basically saying, you can't get it right, but I'm going to send someone who can. You cannot do this right on your own, so I'm going to send some help to get you right. And that's what the Jewish nation understood to be the Messiah. The Messiah was the one that was going to make things right again. The Messiah was the one that was going to fix the problem that the human beings couldn't fix. And so for thousands upon thousands of years, they know that this Messiah is coming, and they're waiting because they say, we can't do this right. We keep messing up. And so we're waiting for this person to come to save us. And that's where the Old Testament ends. There is a 400-year period between the Old Testament and the New Testament called an intertestamental period where God basically goes silent. So for 400 years, God is silent. He said, there's going to come a person who's going to come. There's going to come a Savior who's going to come. And he's going to save you. And then he went silent for 400 years. And then the Messiah comes. The Messiah, if you don't know, is Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verses 14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so the God of the universe comes down to this earth in the form of a baby, which we just celebrated for Christmas. And so that Messiah has arrived. They've been waiting for thousands of years to get the help that they need because human beings can't get it right, and he arrives. He comes in a manger. And then Jesus Christ lives a life. He's 33 years old. He lives a perfect life. He never does anything wrong. In fact, he claims to be God. Jesus says, I'm the Messiah and I'm God, which is a pretty bold claim. But he backs it up. He does things that can't be done. Hey, you're blind? Don't worry, I got you. Unblind. Done. You can't walk? I got you. He does things, Jesus Christ does things that no human being can do. Thus, he is validating his claims to be the Savior of the world. But then, in a twist, here's the Messiah. We've been waiting for this Messiah for thousands of years. And then he dies. Whoops. Didn't expect that to happen. He's going to be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world, and now he's dead. What happened? And so there's a bit of confusion. There's a lot of confusion there for a lot of the Jewish people. He's here, and then now he's dead. And then, 3 days later, he floats up to heaven. Boop, 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 right up to heaven. He's no longer in the grave because he's gone. His body is literally floated up to heaven. He's risen from the grave. And unbeknownst to many parts of the world, that act of dying and rising from the grave, he's just saved the world. He's just saved the entire population of who it is that will follow him. I'm going to turn this thing on because that's going to drown. Those kids are going to bother me. I'm going to turn this around. It has nothing to do with you. It's just bothering me. Kind of, it drowns out the kids in the back. I can hear them, so. Okay. So in a moment's notice, in a very quiet way, Jesus Christ dies and rises from the grave, and he solves the entire world's problem. The world needed help, it came, and Jesus says, I'm God, I can fix the problem, and he dies, then he raises from the grave, thus validating all of his claims to be true. This is a game changer. When Jesus Christ lives a perfect life, dies on a cross, and rises from the grave, the world at that moment would never, ever be the same ever again. It is a huge, massive deal that this happened. I try to think in my mind of something that's comparable to Jesus Christ dying on the cross, paying the sins for the world, and I really can't even come to something that's close to it. But here's what I thought about. Let's just say you had somebody in some distant land, some scientist, and he legitimately fixes the problem of disease, right? He says, I have solved the problem of disease. And so, except for breaking arms and getting in car accidents, you will be born and you will live and you will never get a cold and you will never get a virus and you will never get cancer and none of that stuff will happen and then you'll die of just being old, right? If somebody came with that information, the entire world as we know it would be different, right? My life would be different. Hospital visits would be different. Everything would change if somebody said, I've got a cure for disease and viruses. And that is a tiny, nano piece of what it is when Jesus Christ died on the cross. and save the world from their sins. Jesus Christ didn't just save people on this earth. He saved their entire eternities. And so this is a game changer when Jesus Christ dies on a cross, rises from the grave. Jesus Christ steps into human beings. He says, you can't do it right, so here's what I did. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, I made things right. You couldn't do it, so I did it for you. So we don't have to fix the problem anymore. Human beings can't fix the problem. They don't have to. And the God of the universe fixed the problem for us. Fixed the problem of sin, thus making it available for us to have that relationship with God, to get back to the way that it was supposed to be. And so this is a huge moment, not only in that time, but for all people of all times. Everybody that would ever be born, it's a big deal, because they would be sinners just like those people before, and they would mess up the relationship with God, just like we did. But Jesus Christ dying on a cross 2,000 years ago, that pays the price for our sins. So that's a huge deal for me. I get to be with God forever because of what Jesus did. And so, basically, the book of Acts is this. God says there's a new way of doing things. It's called the new covenant. God says you don't have to pay the price for your sins anymore. It's not about that. It's about you following me, me paying the price for your sins, and we'll be good forever. It's a new way of thinking about God. It's a new way to connect with Him because He's the one who's paying the price for our sins. Everything changes in that moment. The entire picture of the world changes in that moment. And so the book of Acts, very simply, is God rolling out this new plan. For 30 years, God is rolling out to the world this new plan. But in a very human, normal way, the book of Acts is really a communication to the people. So in God's sovereign plan, I don't know why He did it, but in God's sovereign plan, He chose to do this in the first century. And so you've got a small group of people who get it. They understand how it works. And then He says, now we've got to tell the entire world. Now we've got to declare to the world this huge, massive thing called grace and the gospel. And so for 30 years, God is just rolling out the plan to the world, telling the world who He is, telling the world what He did. But also in a very real sense, there's some obstacles. Every good story has an opposition. Every good story has an obstacle, right? And so there's this message, and it's a game changer for the entire world. And Jesus wants it, the whole world to know, but there are some significant obstacles to overcome. And we're going to see these obstacles in Acts. Let's go through three of them. Number one, people didn't get it. Right? The gospel, it doesn't make sense to human beings. To say to somebody, you're not as good as you think that you are, you can't be as good as you think that you are, God has to step into this earth and do something for you, that doesn't wrap around my mind. Think about if you were to explain somebody in the first century. Remember that Jesus? Yeah, He was walking around, you heard about Him? Well, He was actually God, and then He died, and then He rose from the grave, and by doing that, you get to go to heaven with Him forever. Right? That doesn't fit into what I understand. The concept of Jesus Christ, God on earth. Was He God? Yeah. Was He man? Yeah, He was both. That doesn't make sense to me. And so we have this, they had this message in the book of Acts. I want to tell you about the gospel, and it didn't make sense. They didn't get it. Here's what Jesus did for you. I don't know what you're talking about. And then there was a few surprises for the people at that time. Number one, a big surprise for the Jews. Hey, by the way, Gentiles are going to be included in this. Right? For the longest time, there was a fight between Gentiles and Jews. Jews said, we're God's people. The Gentiles said, we're outside of God's people. And all of a sudden, in the new covenant, God says, yeah, this is for everybody. That's a problem for Jewish people who have thought the Gentiles are those bad people. And then there's another problem or another surprise, and it's not really a surprise because God told them in the book of Ezekiel, but another surprise, and that's this. Hey, you know how you go to church and God is there and there's the temple and all that kind of stuff? That's not how it works anymore. The God of the universe, the Holy Spirit, will be in your soul. Right? If you're not a Christian, or if you think pre-Christian, that's kind of hard for people to understand. The God of the universe is going to dwell in my soul? How does that work? I don't know, it just does. Right? And so these things just don't make sense to people. And so you got 120 people in Acts chapter 2, and they've got to tell the entire world about this message, and it's a message that people don't understand. It's problem number one. Problem number two is very logistical. They don't know it yet. Jesus dies, rises from the grave, and then you got a communication problem. You can't just pop on Twitter and say, Jesus died, rose from the grave, here's the link to how to get saved. It's not how it works in the first century. You got to walk, you got to get on a boat, you got to get on a horse, you got to get on a chariot, and you got to tell people, because they don't just all of a sudden know. There are geographic and cultural barriers to cross. And finally, one of the biggest barriers that the early church faced in telling the world about this game-changing news, the gospel, was that some people will not accept it. And so you can present the gospel to somebody. You can share with them the truth of who Jesus Christ is, and they will say, no, I don't believe it. I reject that. I don't think it's true. And so you've got the cure to sin, and you're going to present it to people, and some people are going to say, I don't want it. I don't believe it. I'm going to reject what it is that you have for me. And then in the book of Acts, we see that some people even go as far as to say, I'm going to stop you from telling other people. I'm going to try to kill you so that you don't tell anybody else about this craziness that you call the gospel. And so people don't get it. We have to spread the word. It's hard logistically. And there are some people that are going to resist it. And so that is what we're going to see in the book of Acts. That's what we're going to see rolled out in these 30 years of history. How did God tell the world about grace? How did God spread the Christian church as we know it today? And that really is what we're going to talk about, and that's the whole book of Acts. But here's what I want us to do for the next few years, whatever time we're in this book. It seems like a long time when I say years, doesn't it? Man, it seems like a long time. But here's what I want us to remember. It is a history book. It's a narrative. We're going to hear stories. We're going to see what God did. But here's what we need to know. The book of Acts is applicable for us today. It is very much practical for you and I in 2017. Yes, it did happen 2,000 years ago, and we can read about it, but very much it can help us today. It can help us tomorrow. As a church, we're trying to figure out who we are. We're kind of in this weird phase. We're not a baby church anymore, but we're not an established church, and so we're trying to figure out what it is that we are going to be as a church. This is going to help us. This is going to help define what it is that God does. How does God work? How does the Holy Spirit work? And that's going to help us determine who we are as a church. And so it is very applicable today. So here's what I want us to ask as we go through the book of Acts. I want us to ask two very simple questions. What did God do in the book of Acts? And then what does that mean for us today? As we go through this, as we study these amazing things that happened in the book of Acts, what did he do then? And what does that have to do with me today? How does that impact us today? And I think as we walk through the obstacles that the early church faced, I think hopefully you're already starting to identify, right? Did you not know? I don't know if you know this or not, but some people can't wrap their minds around what you believe. I have had this look at me before. I've said, here's the gospel, here's the greatest news ever in the world, and people give me this look. What? Like, they legitimately don't understand what I'm saying because it doesn't fit into their box. What do you mean? Then point him out to me. Where is God? I can't point him out to you. He's not physically right here. Right? And so we tell somebody, you're a sinner, but you can be saved by grace and you can go to heaven forever. And sometimes they just don't get it. They look at us like, well, how are you saying these things? It doesn't make any sense. And so the problem that they faced in Acts, we face this today. We also have a communication problem. I don't know if you know this, but probably your neighbor or people in your life don't have any idea who Jesus is. Oh, of course they know who Jesus is. I don't think that they really do. Because I've talked to people, do you know who Jesus is? Oh yeah. And they tell me who Jesus is. I'm like, that's not who Jesus is. And so in the same way that the early church had a problem of communicating this message, we have that problem too. And then finally, in terms of those three, we have the same problem that the church in Acts had. Some people will reject us. We will share with the people that we love, here's the gospel. Here's the most important thing in my soul. What do you think? And they'll say, I reject that. I don't think that's true. And I'm not going to accept what you're telling me. Because they have to accept that they're sinners and they don't want to do that. It's unnatural to accept that you need something else. The human spirit says, I can do it. And so we're going to share with people like the church in Acts did. We're going to share with people the gospel and they're going to say, get out of my face with that. I don't want that. I don't need your Jesus. It's going to happen. And so those are the three obstacles that they faced, and we're going to face those same obstacles. For the last few minutes, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk through some additional themes that we're going to cover in the book of Acts. So I just want you to put these in the back of your mind and just think, okay, let's learn these things as we go through the book of Acts. There are some major themes that show up in terms of what Christianity is and how God rolled out His plan for the world. So number one, here's what we learn. In the book of Acts, Christianity is defined. Okay? There are parameters as to what Christianity and the Christian church is, and there are things that it is not. Here's the problem that we face today. Most people come to church and they say, I'm going to do whatever I want in church. I'm going to listen to my preacher. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to piggyback on this. If he's not preaching what I like, I'm not going there. If they're not doing what I want to do, I'm not going there. If I want to create my own way of doing church, that's great, right? But that's not how it works. You pick up the Bible and you say, God, how am I a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a church? And then you just do that. The book of Acts will teach us. There are systems, there are structures, there's a way that church works and there's a way that church doesn't work. I'm a millennial. I'm on the back end of millennials right now. So I'm 33. Here's the thing that we believe, or a lot of my generation believes, is this. I can be a Christian and not be part of a church. I can go out in the woods and be my own Christian. It's just not what the Bible says. You can't go out in the woods and be your own Christian. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says you have to be connected. The Bible says we're a body. We've got to be together. We work together. And so if you're not here, we hurt. If I'm not here, we hurt. You can't do this on your own. And so there's a definition of what it means to be a Christian. There's structure. There's things that we have to go to God and say, God, how do you want church done? Not, I'm going to do church my way and let God bless that. And the second thing, major theme that we're going to look at is in the book of Acts, we learn that Christianity or to be part of the Christian church is real life. Okay? Sometimes I think we've convinced ourselves because we want to that church is all puppy dogs and lollipops, right? It's all good, right? Everything's good. So we're going to come in here and we're all going to be best friends. It's going to be great. And I've committed my life to Christ, so everything's going to be fine now, right? That's not what the book of Acts teaches. The book of Acts teaches very clearly. To be a Christian, to be part of the universal church, is to have highs and to have lows. There are going to be good days in this church. There are going to be good days in your life. But there are also going to be some really bad days in your life. And that's not bad. That's not abnormal. We read the book of Acts and like, oh, they had good days and bad days. And here's the amazing thing about being a Christian. Sometimes we will simultaneously weep for joy and weep for sadness. Every time somebody dies, a Christian dies. I'm weeping because my brother or sister is gone, but I'm also happy that they're in heaven. The book of Acts clearly teaches at every turn there's going to be some sort of opposition. There's going to be some sort of call from God, and there's going to be some sort of resistance saying, nope, not here. There's going to be spiritual opposition, actual spiritual opposition that we're going to have to pray through. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen gets up and gives this amazing speech about God. He's telling people about Jesus, and what did they do? They killed him. Not a good day, right? And then there's also pain and suffering when you do the right thing. I love when Paul is in Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. Paul is in Ephesus. He spent time with these people. He loves these people. But the Holy Spirit says, Paul, get out. You're a missionary. Leave this place. And so Paul loves the church in Ephesus, but he's got to leave. Because Paul does what is right, not what is comfortable. If Paul wants to have his friends in BFFs, and I'm going to have this group of people for the rest of my life, he would have stayed in Ephesus. But God said, get out and go tell people about Jesus. And so Paul leaves the church. He leaves the people that he loves. And in Acts chapter 20, verse 37, they're weeping, they're sad, they're crying. Paul, we don't want you to go. But it's the right thing to do. And so sometimes when we do the right thing in this church, it will cause us sadness. The book of Acts teaches us that human beings are human beings, right? And we're going to have issues in the church. This is not a perfect place where all perfect people get together. In Acts chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas, good godly men, get into a disagreement to the point where they say, you go that way, I'm going this way. Strong Christian men who can't get on the same page, and they say, you go that way. I can't be with you right now. That's real life. That's real Christianity. And those are the kind of things that we're going to learn here. The book of Acts will teach us that the mission, there is a mission for the Christian church. Let me make sure that this is clear. The book of Acts and the entire Bible teaches us that our job as Christians is to make disciples. Let me clarify that. So if you're here today and thinking, I come to church to get my needs met, I come to church to get built up, I come to church to get fed, those are all fine things. But the goal of being a Christian is not to feel good. The goal of a Christian is not to have a comfortable life. The goal of being a Christian is to make disciples. That's why we're here, on this earth and in this place together with each other. Acts chapter 1, verses 8 says, "But when the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon you," great, I got the Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to do with it? "You will bear witness in Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." The whole point is, tell people about Jesus. Acts chapter 8, I love this story. So, Acts chapter 7, Stephen is killed. Telling people about Jesus, and he gets killed for it. If you were a Christian at that time, you'd probably be thinking, whoa, man, this is some serious business. One of our leaders just got killed for doing what they've been telling us to do. And then persecution breaks out at the church. And people are looking, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? And they're coming after him. And then they're sending him to jail. And so people had to get their families together and get out of town for fear of their lives. Can you imagine if we were in a country where if you believe in Jesus, you got to be run out of town? So you get your kids and you're running out of town. You're like, grab whatever you got to grab. We got to go because they hate the fact that we're Christians. And they're running away from their homes. I'm just going to read it because it's so good. Acts chapter 8. So they're running for their lives because they are Christians. Acts chapter 8, verses 5. "Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word." The very thing that caused Stephen to be killed, the very thing that drove them out of their homes, they're running away from their homes doing that thing. Telling people about Jesus. These people were not worried about their comfort. They were worried about making disciples because that's the whole deal. That's the big picture. And finally, the book of Acts will teach us that what it is that we're called to do in this life is empowered by the God of the universe. Okay? John chapter 15, verse 5 basically says this. If you're doing something and God is not in it, it's a waste of your time. So you can work as hard as you want. You can be the hardest worker in this room, but if you're not doing it with God, it's a waste of your time. Absolutely waste. You can work 1,000 hours and be the strongest whatever, but if God is not with you, you are wasting your time. And so I am not interested in wasting my time. I am not interested in wasting your time. And so we're going to study the book of Acts and say, God, how did you show up? Because we want you there with us. We don't want to do anything without you. How do we do that? And the book of Acts is going to help us on that journey. So I hope, I don't know, it's kind of a weird thing to do just to introduce a book. So we're not even talking about a passage, we're just introducing a book. But this is a journey that we're going to be on as a church for a while. And I do believe that God can teach us. I do believe that God can grow every single one of us. We can become better individuals in studying the book of Acts. We can become a better church as we study the book of Acts. And that's what I want. That's what I hope. I hope that we are an effective, soul-winning church that makes disciples and makes a change in our world. I don't hope that we just come here for the next 3 years and just, hey, we had a good, nice little Sunday and a little luncheon, whatever. I mean, I want us to do something that matters. That's what Dave wants. That's what Jim wants as our leaders. We don't want to just come here and come on Sunday morning and put our money and say we did our job. We want to make a real difference. And I believe very clearly that if we study the men and women in the book of Acts, we will be those kind of Christians and we will be that kind of church. So I'm just begging you, pleading you that as we go on this journey, have an open heart, be excited, allow God to change you when He needs to change you. So let's go on a new journey together. If you're here today and you're new, this is something new for us. So we're starting something new. You can come alongside of us and start with us. Let's start in the book of Acts together. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, the message for the church 2,000 years ago is the same message for you today. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you need Jesus. You will never be with Jesus until you believe in Him. You will never be what it is that you know deep down in your soul that you need to be without Jesus Christ. It just won't happen. No matter how hard you try, you will never be right without Christ. That's what the church in Acts was trying to tell the whole world, and that's what I'll tell you today. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, There is a relationship with the God of the universe, and you can have that relationship, but it's only through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we believe that Your Word is true. We believe that Your Word is inspired by You. But sometimes we just go through the motions and we read it and we got our devotional for the day and we just move on. And so, as we go as a church on this journey to look at the book of Acts, I pray that You do amazing things through this church. Father, we look outside of the walls of this church and literally thousands of people have no idea who You are. Thousands of people don't understand who You are. Thousands upon thousands of people are dying inside. And God, we don't want to bring to Your throne and say, I've got it figured out, God, I'll tell them how to work things. We just want to come to You with submissive hearts and say, God, how did You reach people 2,000 years ago? Okay, let's do that. And so, Father, I pray that as we go on this journey of the book of Acts, that You change this church to be whatever it is that You want us to be. And I pray that if it's hard, then we're probably doing the right thing. So You continue to give us perseverance. I pray that as we grow as a church, sometimes we're going to have to send people out and it's going to be hurtful. And sometimes the people that we love in this church, we're going to have to send them away because You're calling them to do something different. And I pray that we would be excited about that. We would weep for tears of joy, but we would not want to keep anybody here for our sakes. Father, I pray that as we study the Holy Spirit's work in the book of Acts, that we are open to whatever it is that You want us to know. To not think that our program, our way of doing things is going to make things work. It's only Your Spirit that's going to change this world. And so, Father, I simply ask that we are open as we go through the book of Acts. And I do pray for anybody here today who's not a Christian, that they would come to know You. And to know that there's a bigger picture than what they think. And so, Father, I just pray that You work in their hearts only the way that You can. And we ask these things in Your name. Amen.